Welcome to Huron County's Life on the Coast, a podcast about topics of importance and interest in Huron County. I'm Phil Main.
And I'm Allie Main, and we're proud to be your new hosts for this podcast series.
In this episode, I'll be chatting with Tanya Masanovets, one of the recipients of the I Am Huron Award. The 2025 I Am Huron Awards recognized seven individuals who moved to Canada and settled in Huron County and are contributing to our collective success. The awards were an initiative of the Huron County Immigration Partnership with support from Immigration, Refugee, and Citizenship Canada. Tanya is a prolific volunteer. She quickly became involved in the community after arriving in 2022. But we're going to start this conversation with something many of us will have difficulty even imagining. Who among us can imagine in our part of the world, in our lifetimes, having to flee from our homes and leave the country we love and start over? Tanya is going to share her family's journey from war-torn Ukraine to their new home in Exeter. So Tanya.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Masanovets.
Yeah, that's right. That's my last name. A weird last name.
Did I do well? Is that okay? No, we were practicing before.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
All right. You know, I've interviewed hundreds of people in my lifetime, and I think I'm probably as nervous interviewing you as I've ever been.
Oh my gosh.
And I've interviewed a lot of people. Like just
No, don't be nervous, because I'll be nervous and then we'll start over again for another hour.
Well, so. I think I'm only nervous because you come from a place that most of us can never imagine, right? What you've been through in your life in the last few years is beyond anything most of us. I don't even really know how to talk about it. Maybe you don't either.
Well, yeah, it's not a fun thing, and I'm glad most of the people on the earth are not going through this now.
Right.
But yeah, it's sad. It's very sad.
So you're here from Kyiv.
Yes, that's right.
And what year did you come? Just after?
The same year when the war started, 2022.
Yeah.
We came in June, middle June. It was so funny because when we came, people were asking us, so where are you going to Canada? Where are you going to live? There and there. Like, okay, so why are you going to Canada? It's so cold in there. I'm like, no, it's not. So the morning when we came, it was +5 outside.
Wow.
So 17th of June, it was actually 18th. The morning was 18th of June, and it's +5 in the morning. And I like, okay, probably the people were right. And it is cold in Canada in June.
So I had read somewhere that you landed in Toronto on June 17th?
Yeah.
18th?
Yeah.
17th. 17th. Yeah, that's my 17th. Birthday.
Oh.
So that was my gift that
year. Happy belated birthday.
I didn't even know. And you landed with your husband and three sons?
Yeah, three sons.
Wow. What are their names?
The oldest is Ilya, mm-hmm. then Max, which is easier, and Luca.
How did it come about that you ended up fleeing a war-torn country? That must have been a very difficult decision, first of all.
Yeah, and that was very abrupt because the first day when we just woke up and we realized it's war in Ukraine, and all Ukrainians were confused, us as well. So the first day was just realizing what we need to do to survive this day, or what is the plan for the rest of this time. Because some people said, oh, it's going to end like in a week or so. So no worries. You just stay at home, be safe, get yourself some water and get yourself some food and you'll be fine.
Mm.
But others said it's going to be for a longer time. So that's why, like, first day was just figuring out what to do. The next day, somebody told us that bridges are going to be closed. Therefore, we decided to leave Kyiv, the place where we lived. Then we stayed for my friend in her house for, like, 4 days, I think. And then my husband says, we're leaving. So that was the decision.
When he said you're leaving, he meant you're leaving Ukraine, period.
At that point of time, I wasn't sure because he said we're leaving. He was constantly looking at, on his phone, trying to find the information.
Oh, of course.
Are the roads okay? And is it safe to drive? and also about gas, because, you know, not all gas stations had gas or diesel. We needed diesel at that point. Mm-hmm. So he was just trying to find this information. And he said, when he said, we're leaving, I wasn't quite sure. I just said, okay, we're leaving. So probably he knows the plan. He has the plan. Okay, we're going. So we went to the western part of Ukraine, stayed there for another 2 days. And then he said, we're going to leave the country. Because it seems like it's not going to last 2 weeks, as some people are saying.
Right.
So we just need to leave. It's better for us and for kids. It was sad. It was, it hit your, like in Ukraine, we would say, snow hits your head. Mm-hmm. It means very, you never thought of it. It just came. So.
Right. Had so to be terrifying.
Yeah, it was.
Especially with three young boys.
Yeah.
Right.
Our boys, they like riding in the car, so that wasn't a problem for them. We tried to entertain them, not to keep them stressed and really scared. But at the same time, for us, it was, what are we going to do? And we were not sure if the customs gonna let us go. Because there were rumors that only families with five kids can leave the country.
Really?
Yeah. And so at that point, that was, either we cross the border as the whole family, my husband with us, or he just lets us go and then he returns back.
Wow.
So we didn't know. We just didn't know. We just rushed to the border. There was another thing we needed to consider, which border to cross, because some people were stuck on the border for like 40 hours with mm-hmm. kids and pets and everything in the car. And I'll just remind that it was February. It was cold and snow. So we made a decision to go to the border, which is closer to Belarus. So not the safest, but the easiest and the fastest way to cross the border. It was, you know, it was days of decisions. Morning to night, you had to make a decision. Do this or do that. And some of the decisions came like, we're doing this. Okay. And then after that, you're realizing that you're crossing the border and you don't really know when you're going to return back. And are you returning back? And who's crossing the border? Is it only me and my kids, or is it me and my husband and my kids?
Yeah.
So it's like constantly trying. This information flows into your brain and you have to filter it and make decisions on the go.
And you're leaving a whole life, all your, the place you lived and almost everything you own.
Yeah, it was just us, the car, and actually I was thinking on our way to the border, I thought, well, it seems like person does not need much for life. It just, I have my family here and we're in the car and we're moving. So for that moment of time, it seems like my whole home, my whole life was in the car. And I didn't need anything else. And at the point of life, I thought, wow, you don't need much to be happy. You just need your family and safety.
And do you have family and friends still?
Yeah. My mom and my grandmother and my sister and her family are in Kyiv right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Are you able to talk to them?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, modern technology, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad I can. I FaceTime or just call them. And every day, I try to do that every day. And my mom, she lives in between two places. So she lives in Kyiv. And then she, most of the time, she spends in the village with my grandmother, her mother, who's 87 years old right now.
Wow.
Sorry, 88. He just turned 88 in October. So she's, most of the time she's there, especially during the winter time when more snow and she needs help with the things. And then she back to Kyiv when she needs to see a doctor or she needs to buy something specific. Because, you know, in a bigger city, you get more opportunities. Therefore, she's in between those two. But yeah, she's there and my sister is there also.
Is there any hope anywhere that they may come this way as well?
My grandmother said, if it hits me, anything hits the house, I pray I die really quick.
Wow.
So that was her answer to everything.
Wow.
She's 88. She doesn't know. This is not her first war, by the way. This is her second war. So she's like, she was a child at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Or it was just after. I'm not sure. But, you know, it was difficult life at the very beginning.
Well, she would have been born in 42.
42 or 43.
Yeah, during the Second World War.
Yeah. So, and then there was famine in Ukraine after the war.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like her life was pretty difficult from the very beginning. There is no point of change. She sees no point in changing it. She just receives it and embraces it the way it is.
We are so blessed in this part of the world. I think a lot of us, we don't have words because it seems surreal. Does it seem surreal to you that this could possibly be going on in the place that you loved and grew up in?
No. It still is like, oh yeah, it's war. I know it's war. And when I went back to Ukraine in May for 1 month, and when the bus drove in Kyiv, it stopped on the lights. And I saw a lady, she was carrying a balloon with a happy birthday sign and flowers. And like, oh, they're celebrating birthdays. And they're celebrating them, let's say in my thoughts, it was big because she has a balloon with her. And then I realized the life there is pretty much the same. So people are trying to keep their life normal.
Yeah.
The way they possibly can. So they have work, they celebrate their birthdays, they celebrate something. But then when the night comes, that is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because this is there's a game like roulette when they drop a ball in there and you don't really know where you're going to land up, on the black or red, on which number. So it's the same. And then you wake up during the night. That's what I've seen. Because you kind of go to bed and we slept, and 4 a.m. you wake up because of this blast, this sound that you never heard before, and now your consciousness, right, returns you back to reality. Oh, it's war, right? So this sound is war, so be aware, do something. And I have pictures somewhere in my phone where my kids were all dressed up in case we needed to leave, so they slept in their jackets. And just in case we need to leave and hide somewhere, go to the shelter, they're all ready. So this is the reality that returns you back, the loud sound.
And right.
This is how that was. And now people just know that every night it's dangerous and you don't really know. So you sleep and then you start hearing the sounds of like a bike, a motorbike that's coming.
Yeah.
And they just try to figure out if it's close or far away. If it's far away, that's okay. Then they check their phone if it's somewhere in their area or not. If it's somewhere in their area, some of them go downstairs. They find the shelter, some of the houses, some of the apartment buildings. Because I live in Kyiv, it's mostly apartment buildings.
Right.
They have basements, and those are shelters. Or they go to a school that is nearby or a parking lot that is underground parking lot. So anyway, they just make decision. Again, this is all about decisions. So I'm not even sure how people are sleeping. Because with me, I woke up to every sound. A car started at 4 a.m. I was like, okay, is it the thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I would just sit in the bed and listen to it. Is it coming closer or not? Because at the same time, I stayed with my sister. And then she and her husband, they were just sleeping. Because it seems like for them, it was okay. Wow. They already knew the sounds. Somehow your brain starts filtering the information. And they know where to move and where not, when not to. You can sleep. So,
did you, when you were there, go by your last home? The home that you left?
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything was okay?
Yeah, it is okay. But oh, yeah.
Do you have hopes that someday this will all... I mean, you said they were saying it'll be a few days or a few weeks, and now we're approaching, 4 years?
I can't imagine. And for me, it's like people say almost 4 years, and then I can say it was like 1 day, but it's less. Let's say it's like a year for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like 4 years, because I even can comprehend that it's been almost 4 years since it all started. I couldn't imagine when they returned back home and I walked down the streets, I saw the people. I couldn't believe that I haven't seen them for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never left Kyiv for longer than 3 months. So, and still connected to some people. So, and then I left my place, my home, for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't believe that.
Do you have hopes of going back, living there again?
This is a very tricky question.
Yes.
Because of the kids and because of, you know, war can end, but Russia is still there.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that it is safe. With everything they're doing now to people and then saying, oh, no, that's not us. Oh, we were planning to. It's like what they're saying, that Ukraine was part of Russia and we decided to part. Therefore, they want us back. And it seems like with their decision to have us back, it will never end. So I'm not even quite sure if this will ever end, like this terror or this pressure will always be there. And if it's not war, but there was going to be something else that they will think of just to make it like a burden on Ukrainians. Just because you left, we're going to hunt you all your lives. I'm not sure about that. Right. Also, kids, now they know Ukrainian. They speak Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm.
But the information they missed from school within this 4 years are especially crucial for my older one because he's grade 9 now.
Okay.
And it's like a few more years in Ukraine, school is till grade 11. So for him, it's like 2 more years and he needs to be in university or college or whatever.
Mm.
So he needs to pass all the tests. And that's history and literature and this and that. And return back now, for sure not, because war hasn't ended. And if we return back later on, that's be a huge pressure on him to figure out all that information and to press it in all in his head, because we're learning Ukrainian at home and we're learning a bit of history, but it will never replace, you know, all those school hours. So it's, again, it's pressure on.
Is he in school in Exeter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've been chatting a lot about the horrible now in Ukraine. But I'd like to go back, and then I'd like to go forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you paint us a little bit of a picture of what life was like for you growing up
pre-war period?
Yeah. As a young girl, pre-war. You're talking about your grandma being 88.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a story about your grandma?
Okay, no problem. I have lots of them. I'm not sure that I'm supposed to share them, but anyway, yeah, I spent lots of time with my grandma during summer months. The vacation, this period for students in Ukraine, started 1st of June.
Okay.
Not in July, but in June. And we have 3 months of freedom. So my freedom was spent in a village at my grandma's. So climbing the trees, taking care of goats, chickens, ducks. Who else was there? Oh, puppies. I remember puppies. Lots of puppies. Yeah, and friends and, you know, lakes and rivers to go for a swim, just running everywhere. I remember climbing trees, really.
What kind clearly. Of trees?
Apple trees, pear
of course.
Trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big ones, like huge ones, that's what I remember. And there's a funny story that once I decided to try on my aunt's dress, so I put it on. It was very long, and for some reason, I decided that I need to climb a tree in that dress. So I did. I climbed the tree, but then a little branch, and I got stuck in it. I was hanging with my head down for a while just because I couldn't get down, and there wasn't anybody else around me.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Did you cook with Grandma?
Yeah.
Yeah,
cookies. Yeah. We call them
cookies?
Korzyki. Just a basic, very basic cookie with dough and sugar, not even nothing on top, but you would eat that bread, that cookie with sour milk, like a real sour milk from a cow, and that gets sour in the big bottle, and then you pour it in the cup, and then the cookie, sweet cookie in the sour milk. Yeah, probably doesn't sound that good, but
it actually all so sounds well. Great. It sounds kind of idyllic, like something you'd see in a movie.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
sounds beautiful. And then you went off to school.
Yeah, and school and back to Kyiv, back to school. And so I spent lots of time in church.
Okay.
Therefore, so it was school and another my activity that was church. And I was there in choir, in Sunday school, first as a child in Sunday school, and then as a teacher or a helpover teacher. And then it was drama club and choir, did I mention it? And then puppet shows. And then, you know, there are so many different activities. And then youth club. And yeah, so my life was in between school and church. I was filled with trips. We went to orphanages to show skits or puppet shows, or we made crafts or helped kids, like older people in church. So yeah, it was always filled with fun and always filled with lots of people around.
That was very similar to my youth. It was all church and drama club and choir.
Yeah,
when I wasn't getting in trouble.
Well, I was a very peaceful child. Well, I remember one day I went to the library, which was close by, and then I just spent all day reading to Little Prince.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, Petit Prince. Uh-huh. So I spent all day there reading, and then I returned back home at night, and my mom like, where have you been? No cell phones, right? She couldn't call me. And
Little Prince isn't that long a book.
Well, I found something else, but I remember I read that book the whole, like, I spent the whole day for it and probably a few others. So my mom like, where have you been? Like, in the library. Yeah, I love libraries and still do. And I really, libraries here are great.
So talk about when you met your husband.
Oh, yeah, a long time ago. Actually, I know him. I was 12 and he was 13 then when we first met. So he's 39 now. I'm 38.
Ancient.
So, yeah. Most of the greater part of my life, I know him, right?
Yeah.
We met in church, in Sunday school.
Yeah.
Yeah, since then, I know him and we started dating. We dated for 5 years and we got married. And then kid number one, kid number two, kid number three.
What about occupations?
So I'm a teacher.
Yes.
And I studied English, French, and foreign literature at university. Mm-hmm. But I ended up using only one. Most of the time, like not most, but all I did in school was teaching English. And then also I taught Ukrainian at seminary as well as English, but nothing more. Like I never got to the point where I taught French or literature, just English.
Okay.
So I worked as a tour guide at the museum, but it was a tiny short period. But so most of my life I was a teacher, and I am a teacher.
So you grew up in a city of 3 million people.
Yeah.
And spending a little bit of time in the village, but not really culture shock when you came to Exeter, or was it?
It was, you know, it was shock because I was in a different country. I guess it's just a feeling of a different country. I traveled around Europe, so I've seen some countries. So, but coming here is it so different or is it not? So I remember this huge flag in Toronto, huge Canadian flag. It was like huge and was really windy that night when we came. So it was just flapping there. So yeah, and then we're coming and, you know, it's a completely different thing because Toronto has those tall buildings and busy roads and buses. And then you come to Exeter and everything, one, two, three stories, I mean. And probably there is there's few bigger buildings, but is it five or six stories they have? So not many.
Skyscrapers in Kyiv or no?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably not compared to, I don't remember the height of them. I can't tell you how many floors are in there, but there are. Like, and you know, those shiny glass buildings, just like Toronto has.
Right.
But probably not the same amount. Toronto has more of them, so it's more, even the roads are even busier. But coming to Exeter... It's a small town, you know, everything is smaller. The trucks are bigger. So in the city, you have smaller cars because they have to be really fast and get it in every tiny place where they can park. Where you come here, the trucks are huge, but the houses are not that tall.
Talk about your first days, maybe weeks, and then you came in the summertime.
Yeah.
You said it was cold.
Yeah.
The morning. Did you know how cold it was going to get? Because you came when it was good weather.
Yeah.
And into a first winter here. And what were those first weeks and months like for you?
Oh, I met so many people that even that first morning, because it was first yard sale after COVID. So people were so glad they could finally, you know, just be scattered around the town, no limits, no, like, you're not going there or going here. They went everywhere and people were just chatting everywhere. And I remember our host family, they just kept introducing us to different people. I tried to remember the names, especially the first ones, and then I just stopped because I realized I won't be able to remember the names. And I've seen probably whole Exeter that day. I don't remember the directions and locations, how we went, but many people. I remember that day, one of...
You were probably a bit of a celebrity in town, too. I mean, we don't get visitors. There's a new person in town.
Well, definitely we were new in town at that point. And yeah, people were so welcoming. When we drove into the street, we didn't know which house was ours. We've seen the Ukrainian flags everywhere. Mm. So when we just turned, I was like, oh, this house has Ukrainian flags, so probably we're going here. And then my husband says, because he was on the opposite side of the car, no, this one has Ukrainian flag too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we didn't really know. And then people were so welcoming, you know, they knew, it seems like they knew that somebody new is coming.
Yeah.
And they supported, they were sorry that it happened to our country.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were asking questions. And
did you know anyone here?
No.
So what was the process that got you to Exeter?
Yeah, good question.
Complicated.
So, yeah, it was complicated. So I know a lady who lives in the States. And she was, just when the war started, she was asking us, did we need any help or anything? We said, no. And then she thought of sending us something, so like a parcel. And we said, you know, probably by the time the thing arrives, we'll be out of the country. We stayed in Czech Republic for almost 2 months. We stayed there. So she said, where are you going? To Canada. Do you have any relatives or friends there? No. And then she tells me, so I contacted the person who knows a person who knows a person, you know, just... And this is how I got to a person who is Canadian, but she's living in Germany right now. And she said, give me some time and I will find you a host family. And this is how it happened. So this is how we ended up staying and coming to Exeter straight from Toronto, because there was our host family and they hosted us. Thank you so much. Yeah. And we stayed with them for almost 2 months. And then that's funny because she helped us to find another place where to live. Mm-hmm. And it was the same street. So the same street, like we lived at the end of the street and there was house at the beginning of the street.
How do you spend your days now? I know you volunteer a lot and...
Yeah. Now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
Well, or anytime over the last, I guess it's been, like you said, almost 4 years.
Yeah. It's in June, it's going to be 4 years. So it's like 3.5 now. Because when we just came, it was mostly figure out school for kids.
Yeah.
Because it was June, but September wasn't too far.
Right.
And then also I applied for a new passport. So it was like paperwork, meeting new people. And there were 5 Ukrainians who didn't have language. So I helped them with the language. And I just helped them whenever they needed some translations or something. So that was my first summer, helping ourselves to figure out what to do and helping others. Because I felt so blessed at that point that I know the language, at least some of it, and I can communicate to people. Like, I don't need anyone going with me to, let's say, Service Ontario, though our host family, they went with us. And thank you so much, because now when I look back, I was so slow with that. Now it's like, okay, sign this, do that. But at that point, like, oh, what do I do? Where do I write things? And I thought that for Ukrainians who came here and they didn't have any language, it'll be like terrifying. You don't really know how to talk to people.
Yeah.
And still you need people because you need to, your paperwork and your work and the school and this and that. So that was our first summer. And then I started working in school as a supply, emergency supply, and I still do.
I want to pause for just a moment here. It seems like Tanya was born to teach. After she arrived in Exeter, she met more Ukrainians living in Godrich and Wingham, people who also were fleeing the war with their children. As their children entered local schools, the parents wanted to make sure their children kept learning the Ukrainian language. Tanya organized Saturday classes for those Ukrainian children, helping them practice speak the language of their homeland. It was for these classes that have taken place for more than 2 years now that she was nominated for the I Am Huron Award. But Tanya doesn't only volunteer as a teacher. We didn't touch on this as much as we could have in this conversation, but I think it bears mentioning. In the 3 years that she's lived in Exeter, Tanya has volunteered to lead children's activities at community events such as Newcomer Day at camp or Learn to Curl events for newcomers. She's volunteered to MC at the Huron Multicultural Festival in Goderich. She volunteers with Super Capes for Kids, a nonprofit group based in Exeter, who sews and donates capes to children at hospitals. And over Christmas of 2025, she volunteered and performed in a local community theater play. She really has contributed so much in a short amount of time. Let's return to the conversation. What kind of advice would you give another person that was wanting to move here from Ukraine or from anywhere to immigrate to this part of the world? Is there...
The most obvious is to learn the language.
Yeah.
And never stop doing it. Even it gets really complicated and you get really discouraged by it, but you never stop. You just learn the language.
Then those of us that have spoken English our entire lives get frustrated by it.
Okay.
It's a weird language.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. But I can say the same thing about Ukrainian.
Can you?
Yeah, there are weird things in there as well. So driving, if you need to think where you're going. So foresee some of the things. Like for us, I needed to drive and I didn't know how to, but I learned and now I know how to. So, and anyone who comes to a country, to a new country, he needs to realize that it's going to be challenging in all the ways possible. So stay with a positive attitude that this is not for your life, this is probably just for a little bit, and then you'll get over it. You'll be fine. It's just you need to do something. And that here we come to the thing where you need to do something. Do what? So for me, it was going outside. Even though my first reaction was, okay, I make so many mistakes in my language, or I can remember the names of people, or it's, I'm so embarrassed, but you need to go out. You need to do those not natural things. You would just stay inside, close the door, and like, oh, this is my tiny little apartment or my house. I'd rather stay in it and be safe. No, forget about it. Just forget.
Right.
You need to go outside. You need to connect.
Yeah.
And then what also helps me, and you need to plan ahead of time. You already planned something. Therefore, you plan, you promise somebody to be there. You promise to help with something. And it makes you go. And then, you know, with time, you're like, okay, that wasn't that bad. Okay, I made a mistake. Like, I said something wrong. But that's okay. You learned it. Now you know your grammar. Probably you know pronunciation or you know the word, the most appropriate for that. But now you know it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you learn. So it's constantly learning, not to be afraid of making mistakes and learning, always learning.
What do you like best about living here?
I like, in a huge city, you don't know people.
Yeah.
You just know, let's say... well, I cannot say that you don't know people because I had lots of friends. Therefore, I knew many people.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it seems like in a smaller town, it happens faster, just because you see people and it's just easier to make those connections.
Right.
Because if you go, let's say, to the grocery store, it's most likely you're going to see the same people that you say at work.
Uh-huh. Yep, absolutely.
Because in Ukraine, Ukraine, not in the town, in the city I lived in.
You can't be anonymous in a small town.
Yeah. Oh, I figured it out. you cannot be anonymous.
They say the best thing about living in a small town is everybody knows you. And the worst thing about living in a small town is...
Everybody knows you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. The best and the worst.
Anything you were kind of hoping that we might talk about that we haven't talked about?
Not that I thought of that I need to say.
Well, you're a remarkable human being. And I know that, you know, fleeing a war-torn country and coming to a new place and settling in and becoming such an important part of a community is probably the last thing that you would want to be remarkable for, but still such resilience. And thank you for being easy on me.
Thank you for asking me to come and share this. And yeah, it just... I never aimed to do something. It just happened.
Yeah.
It just happened.
That's who you are.
So,
well, all the best to you.
Thank you
so much.
Hope
we see you again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, that's our episode for this time around. A life-changing conversation, and one that I, for one, am very grateful for. Tanya was one of 7 recipients of the I Am Huron Award, a campaign that celebrates immigrants and their contributions to our area. If you enjoyed her story, you'll find other stories about the campaign winners on the webpage HuronCounty.ca/I-M-Huron. Until next time, thank you for listening. I'm Phil Maine.